Okay, at least that part's working.
You are unstoppable.
And everybody's staying at home, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Shelter in place.
Well, you guys go to jail if you go outside without.
Well, the District of Columbia is getting pretty strict here because they every day, you know, they talk about the deaths and all that stuff. You know, it's just awful. So, what about you, Rami? Are you under any restrictions?
Oh, actually, I tried to go my friend's brother room. He needed something. So this is my vehicle, my scooter.
Oh.
They took my bike to police station. They're saying I had to pay some huge fine afterwards and take the bike back.
Oh.
Yes. It's strictly
yeah. I guess there aren't too many places that are getting by without this. I don't know.
It's true. But okay. Grocery shops are very near to my home, so I can go and buy groceries.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
So that's it. Kathleen. Yeah, I started cooking these days.
You're cooking?
Yes, yes, I am. Yeah, I never intended to, but I started learning and I'm even cleaning the utensils, which are the things I never wanted to try, but I'm doing that with ease.
Oh, well, I think that's good. Someday you'll be happy you did that.
Okay. Okay.
If not today, some other time you will be.
Okay.
Cooking is a very useful skill to have, no matter who you are.
John, I could use some help just being more at peace with this whole situation.
Yeah, you're not body. The entire world's an illusion. And every thought that you have about this form-based illusion is not true. And you'll know this. You know, this is a perfect opportunity while we're all closed indoors to spend time with yourself. And not just time with the mind and the flow of thoughts and the thoughts about, oh, I want to get out, or, oh, what is there to do, or whatever. Just sitting like you are right there, relaxed, very relaxed on the couch, and just beginning to listen to the mantra running naturally through the body form that you're using to know yourself in a real sense. You're formless. And it's only these identification with thoughts that puts you as a local identification that all this stuff is happening. You know, it's just scenes passing. And, you know, for me, I wake up now in the morning, I come to work and I do my thing. And then I have some stuff I do in the evening time and then I go to bed. And it's just, again, just scenes passing. The body's not moving around as much as it would normally move around to go to different various places with the scenes passing, but that's okay. Like, the scenes are still passing. There's no local identification that says this is happening to me. And all thoughts that come and say, oh, I don't like being trapped, or I'm not peaceable, or, and also, you know, watching the media, that's not so good, because definitely there's identification with what's going on, because you're trying to impress the fact that this whole thing is real. I mean, but at the same time too, you could sit quietly and watch the news and observe your thoughts about what's happening on the screen. And at the same time, have the mantra subtly and slowly erase the thoughts. Because if you're sitting there watching television and they say all this terrible stuff is happening, that's the perfect time to remain with your selfless self, to invite the attention of the invisible listener, and to erase the thought slowly, silently, and permanently. And even you can sort of see yourself clearing away this whole field. I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. You're inviting the attention of the invisible listener, formless presence within the body form. You just tell yourself, this body is meant for one thing and one thing only, to know myself in a real sense. Of course, it can live a life and do its little thing and you know, have a whatever you want to call it. But the true purpose of this body is to know myself in a real sense. It's merely an instrument that I can feel the sense of presence, which is everywhere. And because it's everywhere, there's nowhere to feel that presence if you're everywhere as everything. So instead, you use this body form to feel that subtle sense of presence and to know that that's the same presence that's in every being, that's in everything, that you could call it consciousness in the dream, consciousness in the waking dream. The presence can only be felt in a body form. Spirit clicked with the body and you say, I. That's what Maharaj always says. Spirit clicked with the body and you say, I. Consider that the space in the room where you are right now is yourself and there's nothing to know. And then suddenly this space clicks with this body form called Trish, realizes that it exists, there is existence, and sees within itself everything that's being projected from this point of seeing. The only little small issue is identifying yourself with the object that you use to know yourself. And that's why you want to know yourself as the space that's surrounding this body and within the body and outside the body and not limited to the body in any way. You're formless. The illusion of experience is impressed through thoughts flowing through mind because of the body. If you believe you're a body, then you believe the illusion of experience. However, you're not a body. The entire body-based existence is absolutely false. It's absolutely illusion. And yet you can know, with inside the illusion, you can know yourself in a real sense using this body form as an instrument to invite the attention of the invisible listener. The invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity, presence that you are.
Sir, in the Quora answers, like, it is being constantly referred, you know, focus, see the center where this focus is coming, like, you know, it's being referred like, you know, watch the breathing and this attention, where it is being come.
Yeah. Meditated on the meditator until the meditator dissolves within the meditation. Because this body form that you're believing yourself to be, you're believing that that's the meditator, but it's not true. It's the formless presence that's meditating on formless presence, or consciousness meditating on consciousness. So all of this illusion of a meditator as a separate entity is being dissolved within the meditation, because you're an object within the meditation when you're identifying as a body form. Presence within the body is formless, and meditation allows the dissolving of these illusory layers on presence.
St. Paul said that it's not we who pray, but the Spirit that prays through us on our behalf.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Selfless self-devotion. The more time you spend with yourself, the more time you spend in the bhajan, the bhakti, the prayers, the devotion, you're devoting to your own selfless self. You're the selfless self using this instrument as an instrument of devotion for yourself.
In the bhajans, there's a little footnote that says, when you look at the sun, you forget everything in between. And, you know, this is a big distraction, what's happening right now. So it's a tendency to keep looking at it. You know, when you think by looking at it, you're going to resolve it in some sort of way. I think, I mean, you have to look a little bit just to know the precautions that you may need to take, of course. However, you know, like the focus should be completely on the master. That just keep the eyes on the master. This is a quote from Das Bode. I got it in the newsletter. You have exhausted yourself in protecting this body. Still, in the end, death will come and snatch it away. O mind, offer your peaceful devotion to Ram. Give up worries of life, death, and rebirth. I thought that was very beautiful. Yes. Kind of really very appropriate, actually. So.
One good thing being tried recently was this Abhangas, you know, while doing the Bhagavad, started reading the meaning. Oh my God. Mind blowing. Like,
yes.
Try to create a video with that. I'm trying actually. Maybe if it completed.
I have it. With,
oh.
Yeah, with the Nashik ashram, the singing. And the Abhangas with an English translation that is the full Abhanga. And you can find it on the YouTube channel.
Okay.
And you're familiar with the YouTube channel, yes?
Yes. No, they're only listening to
the podcast. Yeah, just look in the videos. As a matter of fact, down at the bottom of the page, it should say Bhajans with English captions or something like that. But I did those right after coming back from India, actually. Because I did that in a long time. I use that as a meditation because you have the image of the ashram. You have the ashram actually singing the bhajans, and then the bhajan of the Abhangas are there. And I think on that one, it actually has Tukaram as the background so that it can be, you know, Tukaram Abhanga, so that it's just a nice... It was a devotional thing that was it's very nice. You should definitely check it out. If you go to the YouTube channel down at the bottom, and I think now YouTube is like, actually has John Richards now, like YouTube John Richards or something. So you scroll down to the bottom and it'll say Bhajans with English caption. It was very nice.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the time that we can remain with ourselves. If anything, Master's given us a perfect opportunity. If we said previously we were too busy for whatever reason because we believed this world to be true and we were running around like little chickens with heads cut off, constantly, always, never having any time for anything, well, now Master has opened a door and said, okay, now you have 24 hours a day to remain with your selfless self. Yes, you can still do your job, do your duties, but now you're doing those at home. So there's no distraction of other people that can come in and, you know, you can say, oh, well, you know, at work, I have to keep, okay, but now you're here. As a matter of fact, why not have the bhajans running? Well, now that you're in your own house, enjoy bhajan while you're working. I still do my bhajan in the morning. And then the, you know, the Kakadarati in the morning. Evening, I haven't gotten so much now because I have other things that I have responsibility in the evening. So I haven't been doing the evening bhajan like I normally do in the commute. But just keep, you know, this is perfect time. Perfect time to have selfless self next to you. Have ultimate truth next to you. Have I am that next to you. Master of Self-Realization, Das Bode, as we just heard from, you know, read a little bit of that in the morning or in the evening. Keep that devotional atmosphere that's pleasing the spirit. The spirit, remember, Maharaj says, what you impress reflects. if you're constantly remaining with your selfless self, reading the books, listening to the bhajan, constantly inviting the attention of the invisible listener, remaining with presence more than you're remaining with the news, and even what's even more beautiful, remain with presence and watch the news. Watch the news from the specific position that I'm formless presence. Watching this news within the form-based existence that's illusion. So none of this really applies to me. It's just an entertainment on the TV. I'm getting an update on what's happening in the illusory world. It's nice.
It's a real challenge too, in the sense that, it's not just giving up the ego, it's just giving up the whole, well, I don't know how to put this, but that teaching of Jesus, you know, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. That's an very, I didn't know the depth of that, that what that is about. Basically, it's about leaving the body. And, I think everyone's mortality in a certain sense, in a certain way, it's kind of on the line right now. Especially those of us who are older or, challenged physically in some way. And so there's, it's like that ego wants to hold on, or the mind wants to hold on. I mean, like, it's, ordinarily there's a sense of security in the knowledge, but now when you really are faced, Sri Ramakanth said, when you're on your deathbed, for instance, where are you going to turn then, basically, what will be the situation? And so that's basically, it puts us in an extreme place right now to really, I think, to really turn to the master and just really, give ourselves completely to that as much as we possibly can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This burning desire to know, like Maharaj says, who am I? I must know.
And it's like, you don't want to check out before you.
Of course.
That's the main thing. You don't want to check out until you really, really know.
The spontaneous conviction. See, Master has said you're formless, and there's still an idea that I'm a body form listening to a master, rather than understanding that the formless presence within this body was speaking from the knowledge of formless presence. That's all there is.
He's the master, right?
And then there's the belief somehow that how can I be that? But it's not how can I be that. The you that you believe yourself can't be that is not.
Right.
This entire thing, and you impress this reality rather than, as Maharaj speaks about, refreshing your memories. You are not body. You were not body. You are not going to remain the body. If this is true, who am I? There's a subtle presence, formless, invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity that you are. All of this form-based existence is not true. You know this because if you're not a body, how are you having an experience if you're not a body? So all body-based existence is illusion. You know this to be true. The mind came along with the body and produces thoughts about the body and the form-based existence. But when you know yourself in a real sense, the mind stops because you're not buying thoughts about the form-based existence other than, like we said, practical thoughts. Oh, I like water. I'll have some water. Or maybe I will have some tea. These are, harmless thoughts without memory, without an egoistic sense of doership arising, because you're not body. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. And Maharaj says, accept your selfless self, that formless reality. There is no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master, Nothing is there. No thing, because it's formless. Can't describe it. You're without anything. You don't even know yourself. Spirit clicks with the body and you know the sense of existence through the body form. And then suddenly you know so many things because the entire world's projected, just like in a dream. But just like in a dream, everything that is occurring is not true. There's only because of belief in being a body. And every question or every statement is only about the doubt of being formless.
Yeah, that's the truth, yeah.
Earlier this week, or I don't know, about a week ago or something, I was after waking up, I always have my best connection with formlessness in the morning, and the thought came to me. Now, thoughts always come with a sense of some kind of limit, because thoughts, by their very nature, only operate in the realm of limitation and exchanging thoughts with other thoughts. But the thought came to me that awareness is selfless. And somehow I connected with that, so I went beyond the thought of it, and I actually saw the reality of it. And it became so real that I was in this for a whole day there. I was like, it impacted me, I guess, or whatever. It just delivered me to awareness without a self, and I was actually fully recognizing that. And then, thoughts would just still be there, but they didn't have the impact or identification that they normally do.
That's good.
And it occurred to me today that, when I think I'm a body and I'm identifying myself as a body, it's kind of like the old scientific paradigm of consciousness coming from matter, consciousness coming out of form. But actually, it's you could look at it the other way around, that it's awareness and consciousness that is somehow able to limit itself and feel itself through form, but it ends up identifying itself as being the limits rather than the non-limited. And it's just a reversal of like an old way of thinking I'm the body. I guess you could, I guess that's enough said.
Well, the body is an object within the awareness, because you can be aware of the body. And again, remember, I know it's, consciousness, awareness, all of these things, but remember that you did not come across with any of these words or concepts until you began to have the illusion of experience in the body-based existence. So we can't get caught up in the identification of awareness, consciousness, Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, because like Maharaj would say, prior to beingness, you didn't know any awareness or any consciousness or any Brahman or Atman. And after leaving the body, you will know none of these things. The body is the something that appeared within the nothing and only for a time. And yes, all of the form is appearing within the formlessness. And at the same time, there's a knowing of this, because it's like a dream, basically the same. You are a little object within the dream and you're performing little dream actions. But in reality, you're the formlessness in which all of this dream is occurring, because you can see that you're laying down sleeping. And that's, if you identify, you can say, okay, John is the name of this body and I am laying down sleeping. And then suddenly a dream world is projected. and there's moon and stars and it might be a beautiful night and I can feel the cold on me, why can I experience this? Because I have a body, a perspective from which to see inside this dream, a local identification and a feeling of being within the dream because of identification with the form within the dream. In the reality, the dreamer, the dream consciousness is totally separate from all of this. Because when you wake up, the dream is gone. And yet you can have very elaborate stories, very elaborate scenes, and vivid scenes in a dream. Why? Because the same projector is projecting the dream world, is projecting this so-called waking world. And then we say, well, the dream is different because when I wake up and I'm out of this dream, I have the same table. And if I put my glasses there, glasses are still there. And if I have this broom, I'm still in the same corner I put. So how can this be a waking dream? The answer to this is quite simple, because you still are using an object within the formlessness to see with inside the consciousness or the creation of the dream. Once this body is no more, then you'll wake up from this very long dream of I'm a body in this dream. Every night you wake up from I'm a body in that dream, and yet we differentiate it and say, this is sleeping, this is waking. In reality, it's the same consciousness or the same formless presence on which all this is appearing.
Another sort of relates to something else I thought of today was when I'm looking at a river, because I was sitting by a river, and I noticed that the river close to me was more speedy and fast, and in the distance it was more like slow. But in reality, the same speed that's going on closer to me is actually going on in the distance also. So actually it's all the same thing, but all the same goings-ons, just like big things look like they're more steady state, and the microbes look like they're more faster or speedy or something. But actually it's the same goings-on in presence, or somehow, you know, it's interesting to think that actually you're thinking that this fast reality is really fast, is just can't be so. It can't be any different than the distant reality.
Well, and again, remember, you're not moving. You never move. Like everything's moving around you. Maharaj has said this, I think, yes, actually, is that everything's moving around you. You know, it's mm-hmm. as if, and he gives the example of being on a train. You look out the window and you see, you know, the landscape and everything. It's changing and moving and all this, but you're not moving. And yet the train that you're moving in is moving. It's not the outside that's moving. And yet you're unmoving. Mm-hmm. And these are, you're this unmoving, the seer is not moving. The seer is the formless presence. It's not moving.
But we always buy into it and we let ourselves get sucked into the...
Because of identification with the body form, which through meditation, through mantra, through inviting the attention of the invisible listener, as you spoke about, you had a nice experience, progressive step with remaining with a sense of presence, just pure. Call it awareness, call it whatever you like. But you knew, okay, this, I identify with this kind of formlessness. And I'm not identifying with the form, what the form is doing, or the thoughts. The primary thing, and I discovered this in India, the mantra erases the concept of doership because your mind is busy with mantra and can no longer impress that you're doing all these things. So you just sort of flow. And you then eventually, this mind, it's no longer can speak to you, because we talked about before, black and white. The mind is presenting images to you in black and white and saying, oh, look at this, be very conscious of this. But the world's in color. I don't understand this mind. There's a gap there. I can catch what's real and what's not. Mind is presenting images about a body form, and yet I am remaining with my formlessness. So why am I going to go and allow this mind to jump in the seat and take me off in this direction or that? No, it's not happening, because you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. This you must discover. Go ahead.
I'm just going to share with you, this week, we were driving to the grocery, to Walmart, and I had this just this moment, I'm not here. I'm not here. And yesterday at the dentist's, I went to the eye doctor to get my 2-month injection. And so we all had to stand outside. You know, you go in, you kind of tell me your name, and you just get outside, and everyone's practicing social distancing, wearing masks and everything else. It's kind of crazy. But I'm just saying, looking around, and just, again, it's just I'm not here. And I don't know, just kind of you're speaking, basically. It's just, there's a sea there, but there's no one there, kind of, I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just the body impressions that keep you believing that you have a local identification as a body. The more you remain with yourself, the seer's formless. Whether in body or not in body, the seer's formless, so you know. And a lot of times too, like you mentioned in Walmart, if you're standing in the cashier line, instead of looking at things that are very close, look at the things far away, and you'll get that feeling of expansiveness, that there's nothing here, that there's just this. And I think Siddharameshwara Maharaj talks about when you look at the moon, and usually you don't look at the space between you and the moon. The moon is right there, boom, instant. So if you're looking at the space in between, you know, oh, all of this is my own self, and this moon is a projection of my spontaneous presence. It's not a local identification. Formless seer.
Even when I was younger, I used to be a guard. That was my job. I stood in this department store by the door, telling people not to go out the entrance. Great job. And I had to stand there. Once in a while, you get in arguments.
Did you have a gun?
No, I didn't. But man, you got to stand in one spot all day long. It's like, that was hard, one of the hardest jobs.
Yes, it was.
But I used to get this sensation once in a while that all this activity is constantly flowing in front of me.
Yes.
It just can't last. Somehow it can't last. And I guess what I was sensing was it's not really lasting, I guess. But it was an interesting sensation.
Yeah, scenes coming before the steer, just scenes, complete. Like you talk about, you know, you go into the work, you see people all day long moving in front, and then in the evening it starts to get less and less, and then they're closing the store and there's no people. And those are the scenes, they're passing before you. And you probably don't get involved with every single passerby and speak to them and, you know, hey, how are you, you know, my name is so-and-so. No, because it's just formlessness. These people are passing before you, and you're not really taking the touch of even them being there. It's just, okay, these are scenes going through.
None of it really makes any difference, in a sense.
Well, we don't want to say it makes any difference, because from the egoistic sense of self, if you're still identified with a body, that'll seem like a slight.
That could be a negative judgment or something.
Yeah, because egoistic sense wants to continue forever. It doesn't exist, but the appearance of the existence and the desire to continue forever creates this kind of holding on of the illusion. And then you say, oh, my life, it meant nothing. And that means all of this was for nothing. And why did God even do this then? And that's only from the egoistic sense that doesn't exist, that cries that it wants to exist longer when it doesn't exist in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's so precisely what the master actually takes out or destroys or kills, whatever you want to call it. That wanting to continue.
Yes. And that's because the form, your mind is impressing thoughts that you're buying into about the identification and the story of me. In this story of me, I want it to continue. What happens to me? But me is just a leaf in the stream, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If the leaf had an identification, it would say, oh, I'm going this way. Oh, I'm going this way. I wonder where I'm going. I wonder how I got here. You see?
Right.
But that's only because of identification. It's not true. But that's a hard one, you know? That's why meditation is the best, because when you remain with that sense of presence, you remain with yourself, the self, it erases the fear. Because it's like you're grasping onto one thing, this body. But then you start to know yourself in a real sense, and you'll more kind of grasp that while still believing you're a body and that there's still a sense of something. You grasp that because you can't just let go. It's like jumping out of a 17th story window and just free for all. Now, some, like Maharaj says, there are some who have courage. They listen to the master, and the master says you are not body, and they jump out the window. No worries. To know yourself in a real sense, then you say, okay, this sense of presence, and you remain, so that I am that. Invite the attention of the invisible listener, and you won't grasp this body. And then that ego will slowly dissolve.
I noticed that, I read a letter that Ranjit sent me many years ago. I asked him about going to India. After he had come to Sedona, and he said, whether or not you come to India is your decision. And he said, but know that I'm with you always as the power. And I think for him, power was the same thing as presence that Sri Ramakant would use. And, you know, I've noticed that during this time, when I remember that, I am with you as the power. Well, he is myself, so I am that power. I'm that presence.
Yes.
And when the attention goes there, it's like this other thing seems completely out of the way. It just disappears. Yes. When the attention goes the opposite way, then I lose touch with that. So it's like, where will the attention actually stay? And it's like training myself to keep the attention on those words or just that kind of like, you know, the presence, as you would say. It's just keeping the attention there, because it's very distracting, especially now. Ordinarily, you know, you can pretty much spend a lot of time being very present. But now with the things that are happening, and then, you know, the work we got to do and all that kind of other stuff, you know, it's very distracting. So it's just like, you know, but it's given me the opportunity, and I'm sure it's all of us too, and each in our own way, to really see where the difference that it can make, where one actually puts their attention. You know, I saw in that movie Yani about Ramana Maharshi, and I think there was one person who said that he could summarize Ramana Maharshi's teaching in one word: attention. Yeah. So.
That's See, it's a scientific, and I think Maharaj says this, it's a scientific formula that's proven in our lineage. Bhajan, meditation, remaining with your selfless self, or remaining with I am, devotion. So what you're saying is like, these things are more important, but no, see, you remain at the master's feet. You know, when you see, at least when I saw Maharaj, I would bow to his feet in physical form. And this is nice, but you're formless. So how do you remain at the master's feet formlessly? as you just said, your attention. And what your attention is on is what you're worshiping. So if you're watching the news, you're worshiping the news. If you're paying too much time with your family, you're worshiping your family. You're worshiping everything other than yourself, your own selfless self. God, Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, the labels for this presence that you are. So you remain at the feet of the master. And yes, this was a very nice thing. After Maharaj left the body, we had a talk, and there was a realization that, yeah, master is with you closer than when you know, is no longer having a local identification in India. I am here in America and master is in India. No, I can close this eyes and remain with my selfless self, mantra, meditation. I invite the attention of the invisible listener, which is master. The master's here. Then the more I do this, then the master and myself are one, because then I'm no longer considering myself separate. I'm remaining at the feet of the master to the point where this one that's remaining is dissolved. And you remain. And like I said, it's scientific. We absolutely know, every single one of us is destined to know ourselves in a real sense. Because in our lineage, it is the same. Bhajan, devotion, meditation, the selfless self-devotion, devotion, and the mantra. The same mantra that Siddhameshwara Maharaj gave to Nisargadatta Maharaj and said the exact same thing. Like, remember, Nisargadatta Maharaj, I think in I Am That, he says, I used to sit with myself. My master says, I am that. Now it's my responsibility to find this. So I remain with myself. I still do my job and do my duties, but all my free time, I try to remain with I am. Why? Because my master said, this is the reality. So I bow to the master's feet and I remain with this sense of presence, this I am, this consciousness, whatever you want to label it. This is the only thing that is. And the instrument that you're using to know this is an appearance within this. And you will erase this instrument identification by remaining with yourself. And as Nisargadatta Maharaj said, every moment he remained with I am. Why? Because he trusted Siddhameshwara Maharaj was that I am in form, saying, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Do bhajan, so that bhajan, if you're naturally listening to bhajan, singing bhajan, whatever, even the vibrations, it vibrates the body. You don't hold so tight to the body. It's like kind of upsizing your shirt. You might wear a large, and bhajan, now you're wearing double extra large. So you're feeling the shirt even less. You're feeling this body even less. Devotion, you bow to the masters. And when you're bowing to the masters, know that master in this picture, that's an image. And just as it was an image when it was in body form, that's presence. That's all there is. Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, master, telling this body form, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. Presence in this form, listening to presence in that form, identifying as two separate because of the forms, dissolving the concept of both forms and remaining as formless presence.
As you're describing that, I can sort of sense how it all falls together and all works together for the one purpose, kind of.
Yes.
And I also thought that explains the thing about attention, explains the term. Every once in a while you say it, and the Bible said that it's a jealous God.
Yes.
It doesn't mean God is actually jealous. It means that your attention is, well, you get the idea.
Yes, yes. And yes, God is a jealous God. If you worship your family, and that's why all the Bible stories point to that too. You know, don't worship God, money more than God. Don't worship your family more than God. Even the whole sacrificing the Isaac on the altar was, do you trust and love God more than your flesh and blood son? Because in reality, the flesh and blood son is in the illusion. Worshipping the presence, worshipping God, Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, whatever this body form has been conditioned to believe, that's fine. That got you here. Like Maharaj says, this is the last destination. The Bible, the Quran, the whatever, the Upanishads, everything is leading you to your own selfless self. Now you must know this. You read all the books. You know your formless reality, that Brahman is all there is in the world's illusion. Master has said that. You may have believed at one time that Master was a person or was a body form, but Master appeared within your dream that you're having at night and told you you are dreaming. And now you have to impress this reality and wake up. Now, how do you wake up? You stop believing in the illusion of experience impressed through belief in being a body, because you are not body, you were not body, you are not going to remain body. All of the body-based relations, all of the body-based experience, even if they're good experiences of meditation and being like, wow, I saw lights and all this, no, because it's still body-based. And all the body-based knowledge, which you can't take it with you. That's why Maharaj says, where will all these books be on your deathbed if you're still believing yourself to be a body form and that you actually can die? Like, if you're identified with the body, the doubt is going to come. This doubt has to be erased through meditation, through remaining with your selfless self, through the mantra, through bhajan, through selfless self-devotion, so that you know this is a form. All needs, all requirements came along with the body. You have no needs, you have no requirements, because you are a formless reality. And whether you experience this body-based illusion in the highest richness or in the lowest poverty, when you leave the body, it's the same. And when you, before having the body, it's the same. And you're formless in this very moment. All of this is illusion. This unborn child wants to figure out what it's all about and how everything happened, and then wants to point to the origin of the existence that the unborn child is experiencing. The same as a man cannot be pregnant, you are not body. Like, imagine tonight you had thoughts. I'm pregnant. You know, you're a man. And you say, oh, these thoughts are very troublesome, you know, about pregnancies. And then I have to go get pregnancy tests. And I have to go to the doctor about pregnancy. My mind won't stop bothering me about these thoughts of being pregnant. That's ridiculous.
I have another funny story to add to that. When I was coming into adolescence and my body was sort of changing, I was about 12, 13 years old. My nipples were, they got hard and they were like real painful if they got hit. And it only lasted for about 6 months maybe or something. But during that 6 months, I thought I was going to grow boobs and that I was going to, you know, how was I going to explain it? It was very troublesome.
Already.
Oh, dear. One of those things. I don't know if it happened. How many guys?
The mind was having a field day with that.
Oh, my God. Oh. It was terrible. But one other thing that I'd like to add is the presence is so unlimited, and it's actually kind of logically obvious, because presence or experience, let's say the experience that presence has through us or whatever, it's open to being good experience.
There's no experience, no experiencer.
But
remember,
it's open.
Just like the dream. The consciousness that creates the dream world is not experiencing. There's no experiencer, no experience. Ultimately, only you can have experience when you identify with a body, and then the illusion of experience can be created. Imagine the space in this room. How does it have an experience? Does it have an experience of me, this body form, sitting in this space? No. There's no experience, no experiencer. All experiences are false experiences. All thoughts are false thoughts. Nothing is true. And nothing is false.
I guess I was going to say they're falsely limited. We think,
but there's no limit. No, no, no. See, again, and Maharaj always uses this example to like hammer you. Sky. Is sky having any limitation whatsoever? And now you say, is America sky and India sky different? Where does India sky end and America sky begin?
So you're saying there's no limitation, period.
There's no limitation whatsoever other than in the concept of I am a body, which you are not, which creates the illusion of experience, which you're not actually experiencing, because there's no experience, no experiencer. None of this is true. None of it. Like nothing. Nothing. This is a long dream. Body goes away. Okay. Long dream is over. You're no longer experiencing. That's it. There's no, but you're not who you think you are right now.
It's interesting, because I've been, you know, running through my mind, you know, what's the difference between limitation and non-limitation? But
and
actually,
throw this away. Yeah. Throw away mind, throw away my, throw away limitation, throw away not limitation, throw away thinking. Speak to me as your formless self. Say one thing as formless presence, as yourself. Speak about yourself.
The only thing you can say is I am.
That's it. And even that's not true.
Because
it created the illusion of duality with the stirring of I exist, mm-hmm. which you don't exist.
You can make an incoherent sound, maybe.
Yeah, and that's how you can kill this mind. Because I can sit there and build 100,000 different concepts. And I think Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you build a world of thought and then you live in it. No, don't do this, because all this is nothing. All the contemplating that you're doing, even if you contemplate on the mountain of Arunachala and sit there and you say, oh, I know all the secrets of the universe. Well, who cares? Because the universe is completely false. So you're bothering your own self with secrets of the universe and all this studying about stuff that is not happening.
There's a sentence in the afternoon bhajan that says, if you follow your thoughts, you'll only wander the world.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. What was the last?
If you follow your thoughts, you will only wander the world. Wander the world.
Wander the world.
Yeah. You wander.
Yeah.
And if you believe you're a body and you go to all these different spiritual places, all you're doing is providing exercise for this body. That's it. It's a complete and total waste of your time. You could be doing much more interesting things than trying to find spirituality as a body, because it's an unending task. If you believe you're a body and you're trying to search for spirituality, you're wasting your time. That's why Maharaj says, if your foundation is egoistic, if your foundation is body, then why bother? Your foundation has to be perfect. Perfect identification means remaining with selfless self through meditation, through mantra, I am not body. Oh, formless presence. Okay, that throws away the entire body and all the illusion of body. This formless presence cannot have an experience. So that means all experience is false, because the body form and the body-based existence is absolutely illusion. Because formless presence, that you are, is all there is.
Well, you know what, John? It's 8:20.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, yes. Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, John.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You would be named as annihilated now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Night.